Let's open with hymn number 20. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And if thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed.
World without
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, we all like sheep have gone astray, having allowed ourselves to be led away from the right path by Satan and our own sinful flesh. We beseech thee graciously to forgive us all our sins for the sake of thy Son, Jesus Christ, and quicken our hearts by thy Holy Spirit, that we may abide in thy word, and in true repentance and a steadfast faith, continue in thy church unto the end, and obtain eternal salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, thy Son, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. The Old Testament lesson for this third Sunday after Trinity is found in the 12th chapter of Isaiah, the 1st through the 6th verse. And in that day you will say, O Lord, I will praise you. Though you are angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah the Lord is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and in that day you will say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name. Declare his deeds among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, O inhabitant of Zion. For great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the 5th chapter of 1 Peter, the 6th through the 11th verse. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Here ends the epistle lesson. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. He hath delivered my soul in peace. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. Hallelujah. The Gospel is found in the 15th chapter of Luke, the 1st through the 10th verse.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, This man receives sinners and eats with them. So he spoke this parable to them, saying, What man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she find it?
And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost." Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Here ends the gospel.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We confess the Christian faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We sing hymn number 326. grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is found in the 15th chapter of Luke, the 1st through the 10th verse. Then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to him to hear him, and the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost.' Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Here ends our text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, let us count ourselves as sinners indeed under thy gracious care, that we might be found where Jesus is, the friend of sinners. Amen. Redeemed in Jesus Christ. This man receives sinners and eats with them. So grumbled the Pharisees and the scribes. You know what they say, that birds of a feather flock together. We'll be honest, we've all made the same assumption. If you were to see someone walk into a grungy bar downtown and get lost in a sea of body piercings and tattoos, you would naturally lump him in with all the rest and write him off. But it's different with Jesus, of course. And even the Pharisees and scribes understand this, for Jesus is a rabbi, a teacher, with disciples and a following. He is supposed to be a holy man who leads men to God. He could go places. He could be very influential. I mean, the man can work miracles, after all. How much the nation could use a man like him. But instead, there he is hanging out with tax collectors and prostitutes and criminals, the last people you would want to be seen with if you were running for political office. This man receives sinners and eats with them. They protest. But if you will be honest with yourself, you will find that you and I are inclined to share their sentiments. We have all sorts of notions about what is right and proper. We have our own rules when we interact with others. And we like to impose our rules upon God, demanding that he work in the world in the same way that we do. You would probably be just as likely to wonder how wise it is for a person of Jesus' stature and office to associate with the lower elements of society, such as prostitutes and IRS agents and perhaps some lawyers, or most of them perhaps. You could easily assume that what grace there is for such people was lost on them long ago. Any effort now is wasted upon them. They're lost. Write them off. Be done with it. But to truly be a Christian and show the love of Christ means that you must, after all, minister to such people, doesn't it? Ah, yes, we should be compassionate. Yet if you think this lesson is about how we should reach out to the lower levels of society and practice charity and kindness to them, then you are thinking like a Pharisee. There are plenty of Pharisees today, you see, who make it their life's work to support homeless shelters and food shelves and drug treatment centers and the like, all of which is fine and noble, and all of which can just as easily be motivated by legitimate compassion as by self-righteousness. The point of Jesus' parables is not that we should show compassion to the poor and outcasts of society. Besides, many of the sinners with Jesus, such as the tax collectors, were very well off anyway. Note well, these parables do not speak about how we should reach out to sinners, but about how God reaches out to us. It is not our work that he describes, but his work. And as such, we learn from Jesus' words two things especially. First, that there are plenty more people who should have been sitting at the table with him. And second, his compassion and care for us is so great that he will go to every extreme and pay any cost for us that we might no longer be lost, even if we are mired in our sins and can see no way out. Well, who were the sinners on that day? We see that those who were with Jesus at the table were obviously sinners. They were notorious. Anyone could see who they were. And these people had not hidden their sins like so many others. The Pharisees and scribes, though, were also sinners. But they were not at the table. They stood by grumbling to themselves. They knew the difference between righteous men and sinners. And if Jesus was a righteous man, why was he entertaining sinners? Like all of us want to do, the Pharisees grated on a curve. They believed that if they were more righteous than others, then they had no need of repentance. As long as they could point to men who were worse than they were, then they could feel good about their own works. Even so, the grumblers did speak the truth. Jesus was indeed receiving sinners and eating with them. But if they understood what that meant, if they even understood what sin was, they would all have been at the table with Jesus, not to minister to the sinners, because they too were sinners and they needed the help and salvation of Jesus just as much as these others. And therefore, Jesus begins to teach these men in parables. He tells them of the lost sheep and the lost coin, two short but very profound parables. First, there is the lost sheep. And in both of these parables, there's a few things that we need to explain to modern readers that the Jews would have taken for granted. One wonders, for example, why a shepherd would leave 99 behind to go after one lost sheep. Would the 99 then not also wander away and be lost? Not at all. They were in good hands. They were cared for. The shepherd knew who they were. He had his hired men and under-shepherds. The sheep were safe, but the lost sheep was not safe. If he did not find it soon, it would be eaten by wolves. Now, the shepherd could have reasoned, why go after the one? I have 99 others already. What's one lost sheep among so many? No, because a good shepherd would just as soon abandon a single sheep as a parent would abandon one of their children. If you were to lose a child in the woods, you surely would not say to yourself, what difference does it make? I have plenty more children who are still at home. By no means. You would go out and seek the lost child until you found him. Therefore, when the sheep is lost, you would not expect to find the shepherd with his flock, but out seeking the lost. Every one of his sheep are precious to him, for he is a good shepherd. When he finds the lost sheep, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing, and he calls all of his friends and neighbors to join him in his joy. Then there's the parable of the lost coin, and this too seems a little strange to modern ears, which are unfamiliar with the customs of the ancient Jews. Would finding one lost coin indeed be cause for such rejoicing? Well, yes, it would. Jesus says that the lost coin was one of 10, which belonged to the woman of the house. In those days, when a man took a wife, one of the final acts of the wedding ritual was to give her 10 silver coins. These were often family heirlooms, passed down generation to generation. They had little holes in them, and they were strung together by various means, and they formed a piece of jewelry which the woman would wear on special occasions. The coins were a symbol of her marriage. To lose one would be like losing your wedding ring. And if you did such a thing, you too would get out your flashlight and look high and low and search carefully through your entire house until you found it. And so it is not strange at all that when the woman finds her lost piece of silver, she calls her friends and neighbors together to join her in her rejoicing. These are the parables, but what follows them is the plain truth. There is joy in heaven. Yes, even the angels rejoice when a single sinner comes to repentance, more so than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. The hosts of heaven rejoice when a single sinner repents and believes that Jesus has paid for his sins by his death on the cross. What a wondrous testimony to how much God loves sinners in the world. They are dear children to him. He has compassion for them, and he greatly desires their salvation. And he will indeed seek them out to save them. But what of the just people he leaves behind? Are there really such people in the world who do not need Jesus to bring them to repentance? No, there are only those whom Jesus has already sought out and brought to repentance. There are none, however, who need no repentance in the first place. The only just people are the ones that Jesus has already gathered together. But what of the rest who think themselves righteous already, but in fact stand apart from the rest of the flock? Are they truly lost? Doesn't our Lord desire their salvation also? Indeed, he does. The problem is that they do not think that they need the friend of sinners. And so they will not sit down at the table where the sinners are. Jesus wants them to come also. But unlike the others, they do not draw near to hear him. They stand apart, judging that only other men are sinners and not they. The Pharisees grumbled that Jesus sat with sinners because they felt that a righteous man should surround himself with righteous people. But Jesus did surround himself with righteous people. People whom he made righteous. All those sinners who cling to him for his salvation are righteous by faith. They come to him just as these sinners came, to hear his word. The difference is that they are just because they continuously repent of their sins. They are just because they have found their righteousness, and his name is Jesus, our God and Lord. Jesus seeks out the lost because he loves them. He has compassion upon sinners because he is already intimately familiar with our sins. He was sinless and perfect in every way, but his compassion was so great that he became sin for us. He went to every extreme, as far as he needed to go, paying the utmost cost, even his own precious life, that all sinners might be made righteous. He only has the power to make unjust sinners into just sinners through repentance and faith in his blood. And so you see, whether it is among the just or the unjust, Jesus is found where the sinners are. And this is the lesson that you must remember. If you wish to sit down at the table of Jesus and eat and drink and be merry with him, then you must find yourself a dear one of the Lord, who is lost and will perish without his constant aid. Only Jesus is able to bring you back, to gather you together with his flock, to restore unto you the joy of salvation, and to give you a willing spirit which desires to please him in all things, even while your flesh is still weak. And it is his greatest joy that you, a sinner, come to him and hear him. You gladden his heart when you repent of your sins. So great is his joy that it fills heaven and is echoed by the angels. Why do the angels rejoice? Because they see and know the many souls that are lost. They battle Satan every day over those souls. Every sinner who repents is rescued in the battle from the devil and brought into the kingdom of Christ. Our salvation is already won, but that battle for every soul rages on until the end of the world. Every soul is a lost sheep or a lost coin until he believes in Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. Would you indeed like to be one of the just persons who need no repentance? If so, then you will have to stand outside and apart from Jesus. You will only then have your own personal assurances that you are just, and you will have none at all from God, who is the only judge of such matters in the end, and the only one who will pass sentence at the end of this life. But God has already passed judgment upon every self-righteous man today, when he declares that there is none that doeth good and sinneth not. But he has also passed judgment upon those who are at the table, saying to them, I forgive you all your sins. Far better than to be a sinner who sits at Jesus' table and is made righteous by faith and is assured of God's favor. Then God himself will assure you that you are just every time that he declares to you in his word and through his ministers that you are forgiven in Jesus' name. May you all then come and dwell with Jesus where the sinners are, that you might have life with him. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Let us pray.
O Lord, our God, our strength and our joy, who by delivering Jesus Christ, thine only begotten Son, to the death of the cross, and raising him into glory, didst bring us life and immortality, we praise thee for thy manifold mercies. We thank thee for the manifold gifts which thou hast given us in body and soul, at home and work, in the world which thou hast created. Especially do we glorify thee for thy Son, Jesus Christ, in whom thou hast provided for us the full remission of all our sins, the strength to overcome all evil and temptation, and the assurance of eternal life. Grant that as there is joy in the presence of thine angels over one sinner that repents, we may confess our transgressions before thee. Forgive us our iniquity, turn thine anger away, and comfort us by thy compassion. Help us in all the temptations and trials of our faith, that we might resist the prince of this world, and so be preserved from all evil. Endow thy church with a zeal for her holy calling, to seek the lost, raise the fallen, comfort the brokenhearted, and heal the afflicted. Enable her pastors and missionaries to courageously proclaim the word of life,
that the nations might hear thy mighty judgments and thine endless love for sinners. Let the nations know that thou art the only true God, and that thou dost sit in all the councils of men, and rule in the midst of them, ordaining their rule or taking it away. Grant, therefore, that they may learn to fear thy name, and rule with honesty and integrity. Dwell in our homes, that our households might trust wholly in thee, and to have a perfect love toward each other, until the day when thou wilt call us from our earthly homes, to ever live together with thee in heaven. Bless all who are in any need of body or soul, and grant that they may humble themselves under thy mighty hand, so that thou mayest exalt them in due time. Assure them of thine endless mercy. O God of all grace, who has called us into eternal glory, by the mercies of Christ, strengthen, chasten, renew, and perfect us. Hear our prayer in the name of Jesus, to whom be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
We sing hymn number 325. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is thy kingdom.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me."
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting.
Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis.
will give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith towards thee and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
We sing hymn number 50.
Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Good morning.